When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to The Matt and Ez Show.
Welcome to The Matt and Ez Show. I'm Matt.
And I'm Ez.
Ez, today we are joined by our really good friend, Sarah from Swish and Flick, a Harry Potter podcast. Sarah, how are we doing today?
I am super because I'm off for the next more than a week.
Nice.
Great. Nice. I don't have to go back to work.
Nice. Get that summer vacation in there. I'm about to I'm gonna start a new job here like at the middle of August. So I have like a month off. I think I'm flying back to Ohio where Ez and I can record some stuff locally. I can come visit, say hey, see what all is going on. Ez, how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing okay. You know, it's crazy. I don't know who I texted the other day. I think I sent Sarah maybe an awkward text about the grave not keeping me down, which I'm not even going to elaborate on. It's an old hymn, actually. All right. It's kind of gotten to me. And you know what? I got to say something. I got to call one of my buddies out here. I said something to the effect of like, man, I'm just feeling kind of bummed. I'm feeling kind of down, right? And I sent this to a couple of my friends. Well, one of my buddies decided to hit me up, and he said, "You're on summer vacation. What's up, dude? Like, what's wrong with you?" And I'm just like, God, it's like, I am, but I'm also still just a little bit like, this is actually the first summer I haven't worked. This is the first summer in like 9 years where I have not actually had a job, and I now know why I always picked up tutoring or coached football. It's just, there's nothing to do, and we're in quarantine-ish, so it just sucks.
There's literally nothing to do.
Nothing to do, but there is some things to do. We're going to talk about it, what has been our favorite quarantine TV show, but we're going to start, okay? Just saw this. It's trending. It popped up on my Instagram. We love to talk about Ez's addiction to being a simp, and I said, you know, if there's one person who knows about thirst traps and simping, it's Ezra. Okay, we'll just get that out of the way. Here we go. Believe it or not, only in 2020, a year with Murder Hornets, Tiger King, quarantine, you name it, we've got it. Okay?
Right.
Martha Stewart, of all people, 78-year-old Martha Stewart, has posted kind of this photo of her in the pool. To me, it's like Martha Stewart, okay? You're not 20. You're 78. But I'll say this. She looks pretty good for 78.
I would agree. I didn't know she was that old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And literally all of the comments are saying Martha Stewart is now a thirst trap, okay? She's out there making people thirsty.
Oh, jeez.
Getting the simp nation behind her.
Oh,
okay?
My gosh. I mean, well, okay, so I lost track. I didn't know who Martha Stewart was. You know, I was like, who is this? Yeah, I had no idea.
Wait, like right now, like real time, like
no, you didn't know who Marcus I do was. Now. I do now because she went to prison. Okay. Otherwise, I wouldn't have.
Okay.
But before, I did not. So, and then where I really first kind of, you know, I read the articles. I got to know about her a little bit, and I was like, "What does she do? Why is she famous? What's the whole thing?" And then where I saw her really excel was on Comedy Central Roast, when she was on a roast on there, and she's been on numerous ones, and she's hilarious, and she's also just rolls with all these, like, there's all these jokes about her in prison and the things with, like, Snoop Dogg and Justin Bieber, all this different stuff. It just cracks me up, and she just seems to kind of, like, say, hey, I'm going to shrug my shoulders and just roll with this, and it's impressive. She is impressive, man. So, like, I'm on her Instagram right now. And you're right. All you see is just, like, these great recipes. You see hashtag homeschool with Martha, elevating the everyday. And then we have her. It almost looks like she's doing that TikTok where you slowly press yourself up out of the pool, mm-hmm. right? So I was like. Mm-hmm.
You are too much TikTok.
It's a problem. It is a problem.
Look, I'm just going to say this. You know what? Go get it, Martha Stewart. At 78, old people like sex too. Okay, I mean, get after it.
You're not wrong.
Wow.
I mean,
STDs were on the rise in nursing homes because people weren't using protection.
Yeah, man.
What?
Oh, it runs rampant there, man. Because they don't care. They're like, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, dude, they're like rabbits.
I am sheltered. I don't know. Wow.
Okay. Well, hey, here's some of the things people are saying on Twitter. People are loving it. People are loving this thing, right? People are saying, yowza. You know, she's 78. She looks great for 78. This guy said, only in 2020, hot grandma summer. Saying, man. People are trying to remake it, right? You know, they're saying, I hope I look this good when I'm 78.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I think it's cool, man. You know, I'm glad that, you know, women of that age are just out there being like, I can, you know, thirst trap people too. Okay. You know, simping doesn't stop once you hit a certain age. Okay.
I don't know what that means. I'm going to be honest.
Okay. Well, we can defer to internet for what that is. But basically, let's explain it, okay? What is a simp? Okay, because we got this because we talked about it a while. It's a pretty common internet term now. It's like the kind of guy who's like, he will do literally anything for a girl, right? Mm. Like, I gotta drop, you know, whatever I'm doing to go, like, help them in the hopes that they will, like, date, but he has little to no chance. You know, he's like, it's like somebody who's in the friend zone, who's not getting out of the friend zone.
Yeah. So you're saying maybe Martha Stewart has some of those individuals
her. I think so, man. I mean, you know, literally New York Post, Martha Stewart's sexy pool thirst trap is making Instagram. I mean, and it's just like things you thought you'd never see. Until 2020, man. What can't happen in this year?
Don't say that. The year's only half over.
Yeah,
you don't know what's coming.
Yeah, that is kind of scary to think about. Like, things just, like, every day it's something new. Every week, here we go, you know. I will say, too, though, the terminology that I have learned, and I know I know Sarah's not on TikTok, but, like, being on there and then watching sort of, like, Matt will send me stuff and then going to Reddit and learning as someone who is in there, very early 30s, okay, learning about a thirst trap. What does that actually, what does it even mean? Like, I'm thinking, like, obey my thirst, right. Sprite, a commercial.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was the trap, right? And I'm like, is there a beverage involved? Like, I didn't know. And then, like, I was like, okay. Matt had to explain it to me. I go and look, and I'm like, what? You know, it just mind-blowing. It's this younger generation that they're coming up with this new terminology, and it's just like it evolves so quickly. It takes on, it goes viral, and then you've got to keep up with it. And
someone sent us a DM once on Twitter, and none of us, I'm like, I literally don't know what this person, it was like a paragraph, and I'm like, I might know five words out of that. I have no idea what they're saying. I'm like, that's how I know I'm old.
Yeah. I mean, look, let me just say this right here. New York Post has said America's favorite homemaker is looking more like a home wrecker. Okay.
Wow. Wow. What in the world?
It's great, man. I mean, I think it's great. She has almost 1 million followers, and they all, you know, wow, took notice, right? People love it.
I would have thought she would have more.
I would too. I mean,
I will say, I did see on Facebook today that people were talking about like her and Snoop Dogg because they like cook together or whatever, mm-hmm, and people didn't even know who he was. And that's really when you know you're old, when people are like, this guy's like trying to act like he's like a thug, or not a thug, but they use some word, and they're like, he was literally on trial for murder. Like, yeah. It's Snoop Dogg. Like, how do you not know who Snoop Dogg is? I'm like,
here we go. Here we go. This person says, Martha Stewart is a goddess. She made millions showing other white women how to set a table. She taught y'all how to season food with a monotone and weak smile. Then she gets locked up for not snitching, gets out 10 years later, and is smoking weed with Snoop on VH1. I love it. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Did prison change her?
That's crazy.
No, I don't think so.
She only served like 5 months or something.
Well, and I think, wasn't it like a cushy prison too? Like,
yeah, it was like it was insider trading pretty much. So yeah.
Huh.
It's great. Anyway, hey, Martha Stewart, I'm glad, man. She's out there just getting it going. So
she's shooting her shot, as some would say.
She is. She is shooting her shot to somebody out there. I mean, most people at 78 don't look that good. If I were an 80-year-old, if I was an 80-year-old man, I'd be like, I'm down. Why not?
Well, I'm gonna tell you guys right now before the show. Guess whose attention this caught? Right, Matt Brady over there.
Hey, man.
Hey, you know.
Hey, what's like, going on here? Yeah.
Slow down here. I mean.
All right. Hey. Okay. Well, next on the agenda is, you know, 2020 quarantine. We're going to talk what has been our favorite quarantine, you know, so far. There's still a lot more. Our favorite quarantine piece of content, right? You know, we've had Eurovision. We talked about that. There's that 365 days show on Netflix, which from what I hear is just like, you know, softcore porn.
Is it a show or is it a movie?
I think it's a show. I don't know. I guess none of us have really seen it, so we're not familiar. There's The Floor is Lava, and you know, there's Tiger King. You know, there's been others and stuff like that too. So I think Sarah and I might be in agreement on Tiger King, but we'll toss it to Sarah first.
Well, out of those things that you've mentioned, I've only watched Tiger King, and I didn't watch it like right away when it came out, but all my friends were like, you're going to think it's crazy, and it just gets crazier, and I like didn't believe them, and I watched it, and they were right. It's like 2020. Yeah. Every day, something crazier happens. Every episode, something crazier happens. Yeah. Did I love it? Yeah. Do I think Carol Baskin had a hand in all of that? Yeah. Did she kill her husband? Yes.
100% she did.
Did those tigers eat her husband? Yes.
Absolutely she did. When she's sitting there and she's talking about like, well, if you want a tiger to attack somebody, you wouldn't put perfume on it. You'd put like, you know, catnip or you know, anchovies or salmon on his boots. And it's like, she totally.
Yeah.
She totally. Ez hasn't watched it yet. I'm trying to get him to watch it.
You need to watch it. You need to watch it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it blew up, and I was hearing about it, and I'm like, man, this sounds a little disturbing. And then it also seems like I'm going to have to like pick a side here, and that this is like a big issue. And I don't know, it was intimidating to me. So, but I guess I'm going to have, before the summer ends, I will binge it. Maybe when Matt comes back from Portland, I'll sit down and He can force me to watch it, and then we'll.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, so the whole reason I got into it was I read online that there's like somebody was talking about. If you guys remember, I mean, we're from Ohio, so they talk about this at the end of the first episode. Do you guys remember? I want to say it was like 2012, around that time, when the guy in Ohio who had a bunch of animals killed himself. And like, he let all the animals free and then killed himself. And so there was like all these exotic animals running around. I think it was like Reynoldsburg, right? It was like just like around the Columbus area.
I feel like it sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. So I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they talk about it in the end of episode one. And so I saw somebody say something about that. And so I thought the whole show was about that. So I went into the first episode being like, oh, I don't think this is the same thing. But then they do talk about it just briefly. But that was crazy because I remember my mom was, you know, she was in the Columbus area at the time. And there's literally signs that on like I-71, which goes from like Columbus all the way down to Florida, that are like warning exotic animals.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy.
Yeah, that was wild. So didn't you also tell me that this Tiger King was like running for an elected office or something?
He does. He tries to run for governor of Oklahoma.
Wow.
And his campaign ads, dude, they're hilarious. And I don't even begin to do him justice, but he's literally like, he's like, you're not taking my guns. I am gay. I have had kinky sex, and I will not. You know, like,
what?
Like, he's literally like got a mullet. Oh, dude, crazy. It's so good. He's got a mullet.
You can never
got,
explain
like,
how awesome it is, but like how ridiculous. Like literally, at each episode, something new and crazier happens. It's just,
yeah,
wow.
It's just you gotta. Okay. It's like there's.
Two things. I never thought I would care that much about the big cat game trading thing in the United States. But now I feel like I know so much about it. And also, who was the person? I just want to be in that Netflix like boardroom meeting, you know, because they didn't. Obviously, this was pitched well before COVID and just like, all right, here we go. All right. I've got an idea. Okay. You know tigers? Yeah. Well, you know how they're traded in the United States? Not really. Well, I want to... There's this guy. He's like a hillbilly, you know, redneck, like got a mullet. And I want to, you know, spend millions of dollars filming this guy, doing this documentary about this guy. There's a murder mystery. There's like, you know, all of these things.
And let's make him a king.
He calls himself the Tiger King.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
So, like, I think that, like, they started filming it as, like, a documentary about big cats, and then it turned into this crazy Joe Exotic story, and they didn't know that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, truly, it's mind-boggling. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
There's a woman who gets her... Well, she's, like, I don't know.
I think her pronouns are he, because her name is... Okay.
Right, but they said I think they got it wrong. Yeah. Correct. So anyway, he gets his arm bitten off, like completely bitten off by a tiger.
I'm out.
Though they don't really show it. And that's really like they really only show like the tigers kind of like and how dangerous they are. That's kind of like only one episode where they kind of focus on that.
Yeah.
And then the rest is like the murder.
But
like the murder
what were
mystery.
You
and
doing? It, like what were you doing with your arm? I mean, how?
Yeah,
how
that's
did
the
that
thing.
Happen,
I think he was maybe feet. He was doing something like his. They were in. There was like he stuck his arm in the cage to do something. Like And like I think the tiger got like angry, so they bit him. But like he literally was like, no. He's like, I want to get like he literally. They said like he could have had his arm saved, and they're like, well, we could either cut it off and you can go back to work in like a couple of days, or you could have your surgery and it's gonna be like years of process and whatever. And
right.
He was like, cut it off.
Oh man, that's
and so then the thing is like when Joe walks in and now everyone's turned into an enormous meme. Is he walks in and he's like, I'm never gonna financially recover from this.
Yeah.
It's like that's a meme as people always use it as like, you know, when you spend too much money out on a Friday night, I'm never gonna financially recover from this. You know what I mean? As I'm telling you, man, I cannot recommend it enough. You only have to watch it once in your life.
I'll watch it for the show.
Yeah, once you've seen it, you're like, I'm good. I'm good. There are songs. He's an artist.
yeah, I forgot
yeah,
about
man.
That.
Yeah, there's songs. There's like it's like a war between these people. So it's really like it's like you have Carole Baskins and you have Joe Exotic. Then there's like this other guy who has this like weird sex cult. It's like really weird.
It's it's funny because you guys have seen this, and I'm sitting over here going like, none of that seems like the recipe for like an amazing Netflix series.
But
that
it is.
That's why it, that's why it is.
And I guess that is maybe why it just took off and it went viral. That's crazy.
Well, it's just one of these things where it's like you watch the first episode and you're just like, what? And then you watch the second episode and you're just like, I can't stop. Like I have to finish because every episode just gets more and more and more absurd, and you're just like,
Is it real?
Yeah, he's in jail.
He's
in jail. All right.
Sorry, that's a spoiler.
Well, yeah, you gotta watch it.
But you also can just look it up.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You just gotta see it. You gotta see it.
But I think that they tell you that there's more like big cats, like these giant stuff, like in captivity than there are in the wild, like in America alone.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because they make arguments for why these like cat rescues and these like public, personal zoos or whatever are good, because it's like, well, we're keeping the species alive. So like you kind of, after all this stuff, you end up feeling really bad for the guy and you like him. He's one of these people where no matter what he does, he's just so charismatic.
Yeah.
Then he's got like gay lovers, and it's like, I mean, he's like, it's like so out of this world, man.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. It's like everything you could think of, like, there's, it just crammed into one, and it just works. That's all I can say, man.
All right. I'm down. I'll do the research. I'll come back on the show once I've seen it and let you guys
get
know.
Get you like 4 to 6 White Claws, watch episode 1, and then you won't even need them for the rest, because you're like, I'm just good. Yeah, yeah. All right, Ez, what about you, man? What's your quarantine show been?
Well, okay, so this is crazy. When the closure first happened, I'm actually teaching online. So it was a weird experience for everyone, and I remember, I think it was like 2 weeks had gone by. I hadn't seen my students. I log in there, and we're just catching up, right? So you have 5 minutes. We set the timer. We catch up, and then boom, we're going to jump into a lesson. And I remember them during the catch-up process, several of them were talking about these shows. And so, you know me. I mean, I hear it, and I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I guess I'll check it out. And so the show that they recommended to me, and did I binge it? Yes, because I'm also the guy who watched Twilight back in college when it was highly recommended to me from other people who were in my graduating class there. So my students were just, and it was guys and girls were just like, telling you got to check it out. It's pretty cool. Outer Banks. So they made me, well, they didn't make me. I agreed to go watch Outer Banks with old John B, and they're searching for treasure. And actually, it's kind of funny. You know, at first I got into that show. I was like, come on, this is that teen sort of like drama, whatever. But it had like a really cool historical context, and it had sort of like they're looking for treasure. And I'm like, this is great. This is reminding me of like the Goonies a little bit, and kids going off and trying to find treasure. And so then from there, I got recommended. You know, Netflix kind of puts up other shows and it recommends them for you. And I'll just say this, if you're a youngster out there, and even if you, a little older and you have kids who are in their teens, this show called On My Block starts off kind of the same way. And it was amazing to me how similar they were in structure, because On My Block is about these kids. I forget what big city they're in. But there's some legend in the town that there's these two rival gangs, and one gang actually got away with all this money, and it's buried somewhere, and these kids are trying to find it. And it just ended up being like almost the same story. And I'm just like, man, I love treasure, and I love treasure hunting. It all goes back to Oak Island with me, you know, and trying to find some big score, some big treasure. And it's got me hooked. Now Netflix is just throwing more of that at me, and I'm on even on History Channel, I'm looking up the lost gold of World War II and stuff like that. So I've been on this big like treasure kick, and it's also, I think, you know, it's quarantine, it's a little depressing times or whatever, and so everyone's just, you know, come on, who isn't hoping that they either one, win the lottery, or two, stumble across like you know, bag of cash out there in the bushes.
Didn't some guy just find hidden treasure?
Really? I know that there's a jeweler, I think it's like a husband and wife jeweler in Michigan, that I think have, they've said they planted jewelry and like treasures all around Michigan because they didn't know, I don't know if they like knew what to do with whatever, like their money that they had or something.
Really?
That's super descriptive, but
are there clues and stuff? Because there was a guy who did that back in the day who left those precious stones or whatever and left clues, and there's artwork kind of depicting where these things are.
Is that the one where like no one can find it and people have died looking for it, like west, out west?
Not that one. No, I know what you're talking about though. I'll see if I can find it real quick. But it's more of a, like, what he was doing was wanting to get his getting parents and kids out and about. Mm. Some of them are buried, I think, even on like public, you know, like in a park. What they found one underneath home plate of some baseball park, and it's this box. You pull it out, and there's some reward that goes along with it. The family has money set aside, and I think it was like a ring or some gemstone or something. And wow. But he'd set these up, and he had made clues. He wanted it to be this big adventure. I wish, I'm blanking on what that was called, but. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for people setting up treasures out there for me to go 100%.
Locate. Well, so, you know, some guy did. It was about a month ago. A guy found a hidden treasure chest filled with gold and gems in the Rocky Mountains.
Wow. What?
Yeah. Let me
see.
Are
they real?
Here. It was, yeah. The guy posted a picture and everything. The box was hidden by a millionaire art dealer named Forrest Fenn. His only clues included a map and a poem. And so the treasure has been found.
Wow.
It was under a canopy of stars in the lush forest vegetation of the Rocky Mountains and had not moved from the spot where I hid it more than 10 years ago. Wow. I do not know the person who found it, but the poem in my book led him to the precise spot. So somebody has found it. This guy, like, this is you're hearing it from the guy who hid it. Is kind uh-huh. of like, is kind of the thing, like, he is like, is somebody found it? I don't know if they've come forward. It doesn't seem like they've come forward, but I remember seeing this in like the news. You know, I search all the weird trending things, obviously, like Martha Stewart as a thirst trap, just, you know, for topics, you know, for the show. But yeah, allegedly $2 million of buried treasure.
Wow.
You know, was found. Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for conspiracy theories. I'm all for buried treasure, the whole thing.
I do have a question though. Like, what would someone do if they found like just jewels? Like, I don't know. In my mind, like, because I'm not around like people that just have massive amounts of wealthy jewels. Like, who do you sell that to? Like, how is that going to be worth anything to you? Like, I have a car payment. How am I going to get that? Like, here, do you take diamonds or
rubies or whatever? Like, yeah, here, you just take this. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like a big jewelry, big pieces of gold. I mean, like smaller stuff, you can go to like pawn shops, but you're not getting you're not getting the price of gold.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that stuff's like auctions is really the way to do it. And so you kind of have to sit and wait and find the right people. And
I always think
it's kind of difficult.
Yeah, I always feel like they're like not like. I know that auctions exist, but like obviously I've never been to one, so like I feel like that's very much like. Rich people do that? I don't know. That could totally be an assumption on my part.
Yeah, I mean, is there like a Facebook group for like rich people gem auctions or something? Oh, we can just like you know, do they communicate over Reddit or like Twitter? You know, just like, hey, bro, see you at the auction this week. You know, how do the super wealthy communicate? I don't know.
It's secret for sure. Hey, so we're kind of beating around the money pit here. And I just want to throw this out there real quick for folks, because I know I've talked to both of you about this in the past, but what is buried on Oak Island? What's going on there in the money pit? You know, they've been at this, by the way, next season, anyone who has not seen, the Lagina brothers, I want to go up to their vineyard. I want to go meet these guys. They seem awesome. Rick and Marty, you know, just real cool guys. I wanted to go tour. My plan this summer was to go up to Nova Scotia, you know, go over to Oak Island and do the tour, but it is closed. And I've been actually checking for updates to see, like, hey, are they going to open up? Could I, like, swing up there? Nope. Canada, the whole thing, they're done. But if you haven't seen Oak Island on the History Channel, you got to check it out. Since we're talking treasure, that's a big one. And they're going for the big dig next season. And I can't wait. My buddy Lane keeps saying there's nothing buried on that island.
He's wrong.
He's wrong. Okay? Because you would not
Can I just go over real quick some of the history of this thing? Because I find it fascinating. And there's one thing where I find it, like, really fascinating. Okay. So I guess, like, the big kind of thing. So, right, it's in Canada, right? It's on the coast. You know, the rumor is, the idea is, hey, there might be buried pirate treasure here, right? And so, you know, they have found stuff on the History Channel, like, that could be, like, Jesuit-related, like, pirate-related, you know, like, even possibly, like, Knights of Templar, like, you know, Templar, like, age stuff. So they found all kinds of this stuff. Like, some people think it was, like, Captain Kidd, all this stuff. There's been tons of excavations. You know, even going back to, like, the 1790s, right, is when there was, like, word-of-mouth stuff going on. There was, like, some excavations in the 1860s, right? So, you know, they're digging these things. They're digging these tunnels. There's pits and stuff, right, Ez?
Yeah.
But to me, the crazy one is, it was called the Old Gold Salvage Group, 1909.
I knew it. I knew you were going for this.
This is where I got to go, because this is where things get interesting. Do you know, one of the members of this group, now, of course, you know, he would go on to do a lot bigger things. I'm trying to just quickly see how old he would be. 1909. He'd be like, he'd be around like 30 years old. Be Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Dude, FDR, I cannot believe. Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, there's something going on, okay? Because there are some people who believe that the treasure has been found and that it was secretly taken and that it's been, you know, perhaps there are... that they've arranged it in such a way that it looks like it's still there to keep people occupied, throw you off the fact that FDR had it. All right. They found something, because you don't go on to, I mean, like, it's just crazy. All the people involved in that group became successful and went on and did various things that were really cool. I just find it very ironic.
1909, FDR is there. 1910, he begins his political career.
It's crazy. That's crazy, man.
He becomes a New York State Senator, you know, like, right, boom, immediately following that, right? And then, you know, it's like, so 1910 is when he does that, right? Then you get the, boom, I mean, you get the 20s, all this stuff. And it's like, dude, somehow he then starts to get, all, you know, health issues, and everyone loses just about everything in the Great Depression, and somehow this guy then rises to president and is a four-term president. Okay? I mean, was it because he found buried treasure at Oak Island? Ancient alien theorists say yes. Yeah, okay. Right. As I always say.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever watched Ancient Aliens, that's how they answer every question. Like, right. Is it possible that there are aliens under the Empire State period? Empire State Building. Yes. Yes, it is possible.
I've never heard them say. I've never heard them say the ancient alien theorists say no. I've never heard that. Okay, I've only heard yes. So
I'll tell you what my dad says about aliens being here. Oh, I'll say this.
He works at NASA.
Correct.
Let's let everybody know that.
He says that he does think aliens exist, but he says, he's like, if they were here, he's like, you would know about it.
And you know, here's the thing.
That also might be a NASA response. Who knows?
That's exactly what it is. And that is fine. I appreciate him for that. And I think that is exactly what he's supposed to do. And so we can clear the air here and say we've not, he's not divulged anything secret to me anyways. Maybe Sarah has more intel and she's also pushing NASA response. I've not seen, there are rooms inside of the O'Malley household that no one's allowed to go into, and I don't know what's up.
It's only because they're like our hidden messes. Allegedly. Okay.
I didn't even, you know, I gotta say, really, it wasn't until Sarah that I met you guys. Through our friend Tiffany, and we end up going up to Cleveland to, like, you know, do a big hangout and all this stuff. And it was like, oh yeah, well, you know, Sarah, you know, he works, your dad works for NASA, and I was like, mm-hmm. in Cleveland, like,
yeah,
what?
yeah,
and then he's like, I didn't even know there was like a NASA.
There's
thing
a huge
in Cleveland.
NASA thing in Cleveland. There's also a facility in Sandusky where, and it's really cool. They it's like, I think the wall is like, I could be lying, 3 feet. It's 3 feet thick concrete. So they can suck all the air out and make a massive vacuum, and they shake spacecrafts in it to make sure that they are able to come back in orbit.
What?
Yeah. There's very, very little about NASA that I know, and that's one of them.
That's like one of the... So if that's the thing you get to know, what's the stuff we don't know?
I don't know, man.
So much, because I think Sarah's only referencing those man-made crafts. But I'm wondering where they shake or where they go through the test on the ones that are not, you know, from this world. So
I don't know.
I mean, I think it's impossible to think the aliens don't exist, right? If we live in like an infinite universe, I think you just do the math and you just.
Yeah, I think it's naive to say that we're the only people out. Not even naive, but like presumptuous to say like we're the only ones.
Right, right. I mean, but I also have to say. Without question, I do believe that aliens have visited us and have helped build things like the pyramids. I mean, I'm just how I think. I mean, how could you think otherwise?
Well, here, hold on. Now, I almost said I was going to play devil's advocate, but that's not going to work in this situation. Let me get my King James version out real quick and tell you guys, all right, that. There are things we don't understand, all right? And it's not within our capacity to understand them, all right? Go look at your Bibles. Go read them. Go to church on Sunday. What is wrong with you people, you know?
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Did you go to church on Sunday?
No, I did not. I did not. But, no, I love the – when I went to Roswell, I'll tell you what, I was changed. I always – yeah, I've always been into sci-fi, Star Trek, Star Wars, and things like that. And went on a big road trip out there. I think when I was 17. And when we got to Roswell and then went up to where Area 51 is at, there's too much. There's just too much secrecy. There's too much going on. There's too many conflicting reports. And I'm a believer. I mean, honestly, in like, what, the early, was it the early, well, late 2000s, I think, the Pentagon released that footage of like these unidentified aircraft that they literally have no idea. It could be super fast moving drones, but we have no idea what they are, and they're trying to track them. And it's like that you have these pilots who can't identify them, and they're blown away. Seems like genuine reactions to what they're seeing. I'm like, come on now, they are easing us in here for something. Aliens. Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, dude, let me tell you this, Ez. Okay, so today, I saw this one of these things again. I'm always searching random stuff just to bring it up here in the show. You know, this is the scientist, but there's other things that we're kind of talking about this today too. A study has been reported today that points to humans living in Mexico. They found tools that date back 33,000 years, which would actually be like the earliest known human tools. To date and in the Americas. So they talk about, well, they would have had to have like crossed over Canada, like a huge wall of ice, perhaps as far back, you know, or they could have entered North America via the Pacific coast, right? But so they're, you know, people are, you know, are these human tools, are these just rocks, you know? I'm just saying there's things out there. You know, it's like stuff we just find this now, and it's like
We have no clue.
It's like 200 years from now, they may dig and they'd be like, wow, actually, it seems like humans have been around for 100,000 years. It's like, well,
right.
I mean.
Right. So here's something, right? I love thinking about this. So you look at the Great Pyramids and you look at the other pyramids that are on various continents. And
just okay pyramids.
Yeah, just okay. Not all great. You know, there's right. But you look at like when they go to date those, and they look at around the time that those were all created and made. Supposedly, they're using different methods to kind of analyze maybe how old they are. They all seem to be relatively about the same age, and they're all built in this similar architect style, but yet they're spread out across the world as if there was someone who was going from Egypt to another place and saying, hey, check this out. This is probably a good way to build this. They're too similar and they're too far apart. And yeah. it does kind of rival the idea that we're really isolated, that regions would be very isolated, wouldn't have a lot of, you know, connection and contact with each other. Because, you know, the narrative is that, Europe and North America, like there's next to no kind of crossover and communication, but perhaps once upon a time there was. And right. I think it's amazing because then later on, as time, goes on and they move on to other types of architect and style, you can see very distinct differences in depending on which region and culture you're in, as if they lost some ability to communicate globally. And I'm telling you right now, I said this earlier, I sound like a crazy person. But no, I don't really care. Because I think it's legit.
Well, think about this, right? I mean, so, we like one of the lost cities, right? Like Atlantis. Well, if Atlantis is in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, then you don't have to make a trek all the way across. You have this middle ground, okay? I mean, the Titanic sank, right? And it was like lost for 100 years, and it wasn't until the need to make a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
It wasn't lost for 100 years, but it was lost for a good chunk of time.
Well, I mean, it was almost 100 years.
We round up.
Literally, 100 years was like 4 years ago.
We
I was in Ireland the 100th year anniversary.
Well, okay, it was like 60 years, 80 years. I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
But it was. No, you're not wrong. It was lost for a chunk of time. But we also now have more technology to find it.
Oh, yeah.
Than back then.
But right, because like, back then it was like cutting edge.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so I don't know. I just think there are things, too. And if you live in Ohio, here's something unique about Ohio. We have all of these, the burial grounds or the Native American like markers across Ohio that literally stretch from like Chillicothe all the way up to Sandusky, Cleveland area. Like it's insane. There's these old ancient roads that you can see from the sky that are literally as straight as an arrow. Like we couldn't make a road that straight now if we wanted to. And it's just mind blowing that they did that. And what you can only see it from the sky, right? I mean, you can only see the Great Serpent from the sky, and you're like, what's the point? I mean, also, how did we know that looked good, right? Did we just do it, or were we just guessing?
It's probably all right. Yeah.
They had the ability to fly. They had hang gliders or whatever. I don't care. Hovercraft. I mean, who knows? We honestly don't know.
They could have had magic. We just don't know.
We don't know, man. There's so many mysteries out there that we just don't.
But NASA knows, and we're going to get to the bottom of it for you guys.
I have a question. What is like the number one like mystery in like the world that like when you like in my mind, I almost said in my head canning, but this is real life. Mm-hmm. I think about like when I die, and I'd like to think that I'm going to like go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
We hope.
But I want to like know the answers to like all my unanswered questions, like what happened to Amelia Earhart. Like I want to know. Oh, yeah. Is there anything that like is there like one situation like I need to know exactly how this happened?
The big
or, like what went on?
What big historical mystery? You want to go first?
Well, besides Oak Island, right? I'm still trying to get to the bottom.
Or like Roanoke.
Roanoke's a good one.
That's a good one. Let me look this one up. This one stuck with me for a long time, and it's not that long ago. This was Richard E. Byrd, Admiral Byrd, who flew over the Antarctic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly saw this massive hole going down into the Earth and spacecraft coming and going from it. Now, this is a respected, I mean, it was like the first flight over. I'm telling you right now, came back. A lot of it is still like classified and confidential. It's come out over time. And there are major, they believe that it does hold a lot of secrets, that it is a place that holds a lot of secrets. We don't know a whole lot about it. And it does seem to be, there's restricted airspace. Too many times have I read the articles or seen the clips where you're a pilot, you're on a rescue mission because someone stuck out in the cold, right? You're headed there, you're going as the crow flies, right, or whatever. And I don't think crows fly over the Antarctica, but whatever, You're going straight, and you're asked by some unidentified tower to deviate, to change course, and you don't know why, right? And there have been pilots who disobeyed and have reported seeing things that they should not have seen and being then spoken to when they landed and been sworn to secrecy. Some of them have broken that. So you look up some of the conspiracies with the Antarctic Antarctica. I think it's fascinating. I think there's more going on down there. And if you ever have a chance to look up Admiral Byrd and his journal and what he reported, he was a recipient of the Medal of Honor. I mean, this guy is not someone who was just out there some crazy man. His flights and his mission and what he was sent to do, I think it's I don't know. There's more there. That's something I would like to know about. I think I would, you know, that JFK and Oak Island. All right.
Yeah, JFK is a good one.
Yeah, I mean, for me, well, one, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, well, do you pick something that could totally not be true? Like, you know, like some of the things like, was Atlantis real? Or like, was King Arthur real? Yes, he was. Yes, or do you pick something that's like, ooh, did it actually happen? How and why? What the what the specifications of it is? For me, I mean, like, I do think there is some validity to like Atlantis, and I love Roman history, Greek, all that stuff. I do think whether it was just some island that they didn't know about, or, you know, like they kind of knew, or maybe they were referring to something wrong. So for me, it'd be something like that. It'd be like Atlantis, King Arthur, which I totally think 100% happened exactly the way. I think there's a sword in the stone. I think magic and Merlin are real, and you're never going to convince me otherwise. But if I had to really, really narrow down one, I want to know the secrets of the ocean, because there is an infinite amount we have no clue about when it comes to the ocean. Like, wasn't it, I think it was like 2008 or 2009 was when they finally, for the first time ever, got like footage of a giant squid, like alive. Like, they, you know, they would wash up on shore, but they'd never had caught one. Like, I think they just have footage of one in like in American waters, right? Like in our water system. It's like these things have obviously been around forever, and we have, you know, so what else is down there that we have no freaking clue about?
That terrifies
about?
Me.
it terrifies
me. Yeah. Because it's like there, I'm sure, you know, like I think they're called, this is, you want to talk real crazy.
I'm about to top anything you say here in a second, so go ahead.
Hold on. I think they're called the Greenland sharks, and they live to be like 600 years old.
No, thank you.
So it's like, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out on that too.
So it's like, what the heck? I totally guarantee you right here, right now, that there are prehistoric animals that are still alive in the ocean.
Well, sure. Nessie, I mean, yeah, Loch Ness, I mean, you know. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
So for me, it's stuff that's in the deep. I mean, I'm totally sure there are animals that just die down there, and they just, because they're so far down, right? That, well, they don't move because the pressure and all that stuff. So we never see them. We never know about them. Like, I mean, again, like, we can't, you know, it's like the Titanic, right? Like, we couldn't go down there because we didn't have the technology. Now we do, but it's like there's stuff in the Mariana Trench. We can't get down there. Like, we have no clue. And it's so dark. It's like we have no
idea.
So much
pressure. Yeah.
Like, no, talking about it gives me anxiety. Right. Because you don't know what's down there. You have no idea. And, like, isn't there, I don't know if it's the, I don't think it's the Mariana Trench. There's, like, that giant hole. Right. There's, like, a black hole in the ocean where, like, they were able to, like, send something down into it. And it's full of garbage, but also, like, not only, the stuff that's like growing on the walls like makes it seem like, or I should say, evidence suggests that it wasn't always filled with water. And I'm like, I don't need to know this.
So,
it's freaking me out.
Okay, yeah. So it is. It's called the Greenland. It's called a Greenland shark. It's the oldest animal, the oldest known vertebrae, right, that they've found. It's 512 years old. It was found last year.
How do they know that though?
They do carbon dating. I don't know. When this shark was born, Henry VIII broke off his engagement with Catherine of Aragon.
Wow.
That's insane. insane, man. That is crazy to think about.
That's wild.
This shark has been alive longer than America.
Yeah. So, I was literally just thinking of them. Like, it's only in our country.
Like, the French Revolution. What happened. Exactly. The French Revolution hadn't happened yet.
Wow.
Enlightenment hadn't happened yet.
Yeah. Oh, geez. That's wild.
Christopher Columbus had just found, like, America, man.
Wow.
Well,
did he actually find it, or was it already found?
Right. Was it already found? Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's insane.
Wow. All right. So, Sarah, what, because I got to throw one more, like an honorable mention here after you're done. What are you thinking? Like, what's your, if you could know that one thing after we die, you know, and maybe on the way up to heaven.
There's so many things. Like, in my, I feel like as a millennial, because now we're classified as people saying what our Hogwarts houses are. But, like, I would like to have a book of, like, and know the questions I'm going to ask. Like, I want to know what happened to Amelia Earhart. Like, did she die? Like, whatever. I want to know about that recent flight. Wasn't there, like, a flight? I don't know if it was Malaysia or another one that, like, just went missing. You know what I mean? Like,
that Malaysia Airlines flight. Yeah. That was a couple years ago. Like, I remember that. That was, like... Yeah. I do think they did. I think they ended up finding it, but they couldn't figure out why the pilot.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me look it up. Yeah. I remember that. And people, I mean, when it first happened, people were like, did it land in Russia? Did it? Like, everyone was.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were, everyone was talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of unanswered questions I have, but I can't remember what they are. Because, like, I just want to know everything.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Tell me all the world's secrets.
Right. It is sort of that thing, like when we die, does our spirit linger on? Right. I mean, do we learn those answers? Do we get access to that information? Yeah. Are we reborn again? All that kind of stuff. You know,
I would also like to know, like, my own family secrets. Like, I know. I wouldn't say, like, I think every family has secrets, but, like, there are things that, like, my, like, aunts and uncles know that, like, obviously I'm not privy to and I want to know. So, like, hopefully, like, we'll get the answers.
Easy cow. See, there's some stuff I'm like, I don't know if I would want to know all of that, but I get it. See, to me, it's like the big ones. I want to know, can I just understand, like, more about the universe, the world we live in, the solar system, the big conspiracies that took place here, like, that I kind of want to understand more about, and I'm fascinated by. So, and actually, when you guys are ready, just tell me when you're ready, because
let me pull this. Well, I have a list here, so I mean if I could just go through some of the big ones that we could just kind of touch on them, I suppose. Who is Jack the Ripper? But I feel like they've gotten a lot closer to that one.
Yeah.
Over the things.
That theory about William Shakespeare not actually being, like,
The author.
Who he says he is.
Like, they're saying it's like a noble guy. I think they said, I'm like, that's interesting. I would like to know that.
As, like, a pen name or something, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where is Jimmy Hoffa, right? So that, yeah, there's one, right, that's been, where is Cleopatra's tomb? Yeah. Who killed JFK? Is there a money pit in Oak Island?
Yes. Yes.
Like, the Dead Sea Scrolls, what was the fate of the Ark of the Covenant? Were some of the great, wonders of the world real, right? Like, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the library at Alexander. Was there a city of Atlantis? Stuff like that, yeah.
All right, so thankfully you didn't touch on this, and I think I'm going to go ahead and go for it. One more thing here before we transition out of all this crazy craziness, right? You ready for this, Sarah? This is going to blow you away. I think I've mentioned this to you before, and I challenge anyone who's listening to go look this up, give it an honest look, and think about the effects of our moon on this world, the lunar correlations, the tide, all of this stuff. I mean, if the moon shifts, if it changes in some way, our world could be destroyed. Like, there are things, like, it would not operate and function the way that it does. It is almost too perfect, right? The fact that you have a lunar eclipse and things, it's like they've studied what are the odds of that happening. You know, go look up the odds of having a lunar eclipse and things, and it's ridiculous. It's crazy. It doesn't happen very often, right? So there's this theory out there, and this is where I'm really going to sound like a madman, and I'm okay with it. I'm totally fine with it. And Matt, you can look this up. It is the hollow moon theory, right? The hollow moon hypothesis, or spaceship moon hypothesis, all right? It proposes that the Earth's moon is either wholly hollow or otherwise contains some sort of interior space. There are multiple claims from various scientists and people who have studied it, who have sent signals to it. I'm still baffled, by the way, for when we first sent a man to the moon, whether we did or not, right?
The anniversary of that just happened. Fun fact.
Yeah. Yep. There was actually some conversation as to when they switched to why switch to code? Why switch to really covert lingo when on the moon and when studying it? What's up with that? Now, here we go. Here's the one I'll read, I guess. So the moon that rang like a bell. So between 1972 and 1977, you've got these seismic sort of meters installed on the moon by Apollo missions, recorded moon quakes. The moon was described as ringing like a bell during some of those quakes. Let's see, especially the shallow ones. This phrase was brought to popular attention in March of 1970 in an article in Popular Science. When Apollo 12... Here we go. Apollo 12 deliberately crashed the ascent stage of its lunar module onto the moon's surface. It was claimed that the moon rang like a bell for an hour, leading to arguments that it must be hollow like a bell. So they continue with those experiments. So, and they also talk about the depth of which the crate, like any of those moon craters and stuff, and how interesting it is that they all seem to be very similar, and that there aren't some much larger and deep. There are some, but like they all seem to have sort of a similar impact. What do you think? Are you shaking your head over there, Matt?
I'm with you, man. I guess my question is, why haven't we been back?
Oh, dude. Oh, money, my gosh. Man.
See, this is what Ed
here's
and I
the
talk-
thing, though. Also, you have to think about the people. Like, you have to have extensive training to go up there. It's super dangerous. Think about how many people have lost their lives leaving Earth and coming back.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying, did we actually go in place? I do totally.
I think Apollo 13 was the first attempt. I think it was the first time we actually tried it, and the other two were just
botched it.
And we botched it.
I will say this about any type of like space stuff. First of all, space freaks me out. But having a dad that works for NASA, like going when we went to the Aerospace Museum in DC, like he knows a bunch of these people, so he's telling us like kind of behind. Like it's almost like getting a tour from like someone that works there, because he's giving us behind the scenes stuff about each of these like things and like the traveling and whatever else. So it's like cool to hear him talk about it.
Yeah.
But also, I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. Cool, they went to the moon in 1969.
man. Yeah, I love it, Ez. I love all these conspiracy theories, all these questions, all these. Ez is over there shaking his head, man.
The moon is too perfect, right? Now, and here's what our Holy Bible says about this.
Here,
our
hold on.
Lord and Savior.
Hold on.
Hung that there.
Here's my question. During creation. Before you go on about saying it's perfect, have we seen the entirety of the moon?
No. There's a whole bunch of stuff on the dark side of the moon. We have no idea what's over there.
So we don't know if it's perfect. We've only seen part of it.
I'm just saying the part that we can see. Okay, the way in which it's controlling its effects on this world are pretty ridiculous, pretty crazy.
So, it is interesting.
There's even studies on like its density and stuff compared to the Earth's density. There's a ton of stuff on it where people are a little bit sort of like it's almost too perfect, and that's where again. You know, it's how God made it. All right.
Okay. Hey, man. Yeah, I want to know. I think we should send somebody back. I think we should send somebody. I think we should send somebody to the moon.
Call Elon. Let's get this
call
going.
Call Elon Musk. Well, did you see? So, actually, some astronauts criticized Elon Musk over that.
Yeah.
They criticized him over SpaceX because they said, you know, like there's less control in it, all this stuff. He was like really offended. Like he was like
really
hurt by that because he views these guys as his heroes. I think it's great. I think him, the Virgin Mobile guy, like they're all trying to figure this like space travel out. I think it's great. Like,
are you talking about Richard Branson?
Yeah.
I think that really like they're not to say that there's not anything like on Earth level that we can study more. I think that the two places, because really like that's what science is trying to do, is like always evolve and like learning and right. and truly like even on Earth level, like it is, there's always something to learn. But like with space and with the ocean, like those are two places I think that they have like more growth, you know what I mean? Because right. they don't know everything. So I'm, as long as I don't have to be the one going into space, I'm cool with people learning more.
Would you rather go into space or go to the depths of the ocean?
I don't like that question. I probably would. I don't know. I want to say space, but I don't know.
Hey.
I feel like it's more dangerous to go to space than it is to go to the ocean, but I'm not a very strong swimmer.
I don't know, man.
There's too much.
Like, the reason I say that is because like how many times literally have people like come back into orbit and like their spacecraft is blown up?
I mean, only a couple, right? I think it's only...
But it's still, that's people dying. How many people have gone down in like a thing?
A lot.
And like... I guess that's true too. But either way, I don't like it. I don't like the question.
I guess for me,
lost at sea like crazy.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. Like, I genuinely am not a strong swimmer. But if I'm like, if I come out of a spacecraft and I'm just falling back to Earth, I'm probably going to die anyways. But
well, you're definitely
I'm better at falling than trying to swim.
How is it that we have the technology to travel in space, right? And travel to the moon and the space station and stuff like that? And it's I would say it's safer, and we have fewer, and again, you can look at like, you know, number of craft that we've sent versus craft we send across the ocean that can't make it, that actually end up like sinking. And
how many cruise ships tip over? Okay.
And wonder, get, you know, like you would have to do the math on that, because like if you think about it, like how many truly like have had incidences, like ships and, you know, what are those other submarines and all of those right. things, versus how many they've sent out. Also, like, they haven't sent out, like, a million spaceships right. or anything, or spacecrafts. Right. So you'd have to do the math to see, really, which one is more dangerous.
Well, I mean, I guess the way I view it is, right, you know, let's say you're in some, you know, sort of futuristic submarine that can actually handle, like, going into, like, the Marianas Trench. Going into space, other than really the temperature and like the gauges and everything being set up like the proper way, that's pretty much it. Because then once you're in space, like you're there.
But
there's
you also, like
squids
and
whales and, you know,
yeah.
500-year-old sharks that are out there.
Right, right. Which can think
know.
And they move and you, where they're unpredictable,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
But
yeah. we don't
in
know.
Space, you don't know if there's other things out there.
That's
well,
true.
Alien.
I don't know that there's a lot also, probably inside our orbit. I mean, I definitely think there's stuff like, you know, way over there. Just
you never know. It could be like the one time you go up to space, then all of a sudden you get friends coming by being like, hey, we're your neighbors. But
well,
you also have to think like it's physically draining. Like your, I think your bone density drops, like your muscle mass drops. Like you have, there's a lot of things like that.
But once you're in space, it is beneficial to your health.
But are you going to stay there continuously?
Well, because that the guy who was in the International Space Station the longest has a twin brother, and when he came
yes.
back, he was taller than his brother because of the he doesn't have gravity pulling on him.
I don't think it was by
as
that
his
much,
face
though.
Is like, wait, what? Like, yeah,
more
like, I think it was like only within like an inch or two of being taller than him. So, like, is it really worth it?
Every inch counts. Okay, I mean, I'll say
depends
that.
On who you're talking
yeah,
to.
Trust me.
Jeez.
Trust
yeah.
me.
Wow.
Okay, all right, yeah. okay, boom.
Hey, let's move on. So we have this bag of questions here, and I had some I was gonna talk about, but I ended up switching it because I just thought it fit our conversation a little bit more today. And one of them, Ez, was scared to talk about. And we'll save that maybe for a rated R edition anyway.
Oh, please, yes.
So stay tuned for that. As this huge bag of questions, just, you know, conversation starters, stuff like that. So where would you bury treasure if you had some?
Ooh, I like this. Wow.
Ez, you can go first, man, if you're ready.
Yeah, so because I've thought about this. Okay, so I've actually
Set the stage. What time period are we in? What kind of treasure are we talking about? You know,
well, we're talking right now. We're talking when I acquire treasure, and or I find this bag. I'm still a big believer in you've got to bury it. Okay, I think you still have to bury it in the ground. I'm not going to put it in a locker somewhere with some combination, something, whatever. No, I trust Mother Nature to keep, you know, my secrets and everything. Because, you know, you could put it with a bank. You could try to stash it in somebody's house or a part. Those get torn down. They get moved, ownership changes, all that kind of stuff. So now I guess also you'd have to kind of figure out like a plot of land where no one is likely to come across it, right? And then you've got to figure out the right time to get there. And then how do you bury it? And it's also very important to mark it and remember where it's at. So to me, I'm not going to tell you guys my secret spot, all right? But
well, you do need to tell us your secret spot. That's the question.
I'll give you another
similar spot. I'll
give you my spot B. Okay. Spot B, all right?
Of where I would bury my mythical treasure.
Yeah, so Matt knows this. There's like a trail that runs past my house or whatever, and there's this you know where the landfill is over there on Thayer Road? You know, like the big land, like the dump or whatever?
Oh, I guess, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's like up on this hill or whatever. So there's a lot of like territory around there, and I found this spot. I one day went down off the trail. It used to be a railroad track, right? It was railroad tracks, mm-hmm. And when I was younger, we would go as far as we could before Mom started yelling at us and everything, and then now, in modern time, they've turned it into a bike trail, much easier to get to. But there is a, on the hill, and I don't really know who owns this property, but I found a batch. Yes. I was just there. Okay, did I admit to trespassing? Technically, they're probably neighbors, so we're probably good. But I went for, it was actually in the winter. So sometimes the best time to go across land like that, I mean, clearly, if it's spring, summer, even early fall, I'm not going in those high weeds where there are snakes and God knows what else that I can't see, right? So I'm going to go when everything's dead. And that's the best time to go out there and kind of scout the land. And I did. I can't even tell you what type of tree it is, but I found this cluster of trees. And I wouldn't, if I was searching for treasure too, I would have spotted this as something unique. It was like inside of this forest, and it was the trees were shorter and they were much different, right? But so to me, I looked at it and I was like, this is weird. It was like that you could see the canopy was like much higher, and there's these other ones that are stunted, but they're different types of trees. I have no idea. I'm not like a tree connoisseur, so I don't know what exactly they were, but I was like, this is really cool. And I walked through it, and it was different, but to me, I was like, I could remember that, I could find that, I could even describe that maybe in a set of clues or something, you know. I could go back and figure this out, mm-hmm. leave this for my descendants. So that was spot B. Spot A is better, and it actually has a much more distinct feature that I think I could clue people into. And I'm talking about my you know, descendants. So, but yeah, I think you got to bury it in the ground. I think you have to bury it in the ground, and yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay. So, Sarah.
So, I would probably do something where, like, I would spread it out and just have it buried in like places that are significant to me. So like I might bring some to like Ireland, cause that's obviously like my family is from there and whatever else. And, some places in Ohio that I will not name, but mm-hmm. that's what I would do. Places that are spreading significant out, and meaningful for me.
Yeah. It's like the Deathly Hallows.
and the Horcruxes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
See,
oh my
gosh. I knew
you
it.
You guys don't know. You don't know. Switch Modal made our own. We don't know.
Yeah.
Don't
know. Hey, there you go. Oh, wow. That's dark side. Let's not let that get out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. I'll just say this. Okay. In the Florida Keys, there's a place called Kokomo. Okay, and that is where you want to go if you want to get away from it all. Okay?
Wow.
And that's where I'd bury my treasure. Somewhere in Florida or somewhere, you know, I definitely feel like that tropical pirate type, you know, setting in the sand. I would not do like, I would definitely do, it would have to be on like, you know, a big, large beach. I would definitely not bury it on like a tiny island in the middle of the Pacific that you'll never be able to find again, and is going to be gone, right? But I would definitely bury it somewhere on the beach. I don't know. Out here in Oregon, man, there's the beach is the, you know, it's huge. Go whole thing. There are tons of tiny little coves and all of these things.
Yeah, you got the goonies out there. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure there is tons of buried treasure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out there. So, yeah.
Go but find I would, some.
It would probably be something that, you know, it would be an extravagant puzzle. You know, I've played Uncharted. I've played Tomb Raider. I love Indiana Jones. I love National Treasure. There's going to be maps and puzzles and clues that send you all around the world. Mm-hmm. And then you realize it was like next door. You know,
right,
so,
right. Yeah. So, he, like, fine. I don't know if we'll
songs,
probably move on here from
poems, anything that you know. Oh, yeah. It's got to be
elaborate. Yeah,
it's got to be a whole thing. Yeah.
So my this was last. It was my dad's last birthday. We were finishing up. I had got done watching that last season of Oak Island, and the gift that I bought him was a metal detector. And let me tell you, not only did I get the big, you know, I actually went, I think it's Gary is the guy on Oak Island. He has recommendations for these metal detectors, right? And my favorite thing is when he pulls out the little pointer, right? It's like that long, like, you know, almost 10 inches long. And he's just down there in the ground once he's dug his hole trying to pinpoint it, right? So I bought my dad both of those. And I have found several lost shovels in the backyard, and like we found a hoe, we found some pop cans. I'm trying to think what else we found back there. We did find a couple coins, but they were modern, and it has been a blast. Now the yard afterwards, mowing has been a catastrophe because it's so rough now. We had like 5 to 6 different spots out there where we were really getting a lot of hits. So anyways, I'll just say, if you also want to invest in a metal detector,
one quick question. Did you call before you did?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
You get electrocuted, okay?
I know. That's very true. But I'm telling you, I kind of feel like there's so many different places in like our backyards where, you know,
who knows what's out there?
Who knows what's there? You know, we have no idea. And there could have been a tribe there. There could have been, especially in Ohio, in this region, there was a lot of people, French and British, kind of moving around treasure and stuff and goods. You just never know.
You never know. So. Okay. All right. Well, as we like to finish, as always, with some food. And so we have Sarah on here. So I thought we were going to talk a little bit about some coffee. You know, we've talked White Claw and pizza and stuff like that. Let's talk some of our favorite coffees. What's our go-to coffee? And then we have to talk about an Ohio favorite. Not so much if you're actually in Ohio, but if you come to Ohio, it's a thing. Some Skyline Chili. Okay, yeah. So let's start with the good and end with the mediocre.
Wow.
So favorite coffee. Sarah, what's your go-to coffee drink?
I'm the worst at these kinds of questions because it all depends on my mood. So I very much love a black cup of coffee. I like a strong cup of coffee, but I also don't mind, like, if it's too hot outside, like, or if I'm treating myself, I'll get an iced coffee or like a cold brew with some almond milk. Or sometimes I'll be fancy and sometimes I'll get like a caramel macchiato or something like that. It just depends on my mood, but usually most often I'm drinking just black coffee.
Yeah.
And I'm not picky.
Can I ask you a question, though, on that black coffee? Is it Folgers in your cup? Is that what you're going with?
No. The two that I drink the most, like if I'm making it at home, it's usually like a Starbucks Keurig or I have from Expedition Roasters. They do like artisanal like coffee. Most of them are flavored and they have like artists design like the covers of their coffees and they each have like a theme. And they're all flavored, but I get their dark side roast. So it's like the Star Wars one because they do like Disney, mostly Disney themed. If I might be lying and say they all might be Disney themed. but I drink their dark side roast. It's so good. But I don't let myself have that all the time because I do have to do like, it's not that it's expensive. It's not. I mean, it's like maybe $14 for like a thing, but I always buy it on sale. But I like treat myself every once in a while to a dark side roast coffee.
You gotta treat you. Gotta treat yourself.
Well, see, I asked that because you're talking about, you know, just a black cup of coffee, and I mean Folgers is what we grew up on. I will say though, my grandmother Folgers is also good. She also though was big on Maxwell House, right? Mm-hmm. Good to the last drop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was a big deal. I learned I didn't like coffee growing up at all, not even my teen, not even early 20s. It wasn't until like, gosh, I was like 25 or 26 when someone got me kind of hooked on cold brew. But I used to make coffee for my grandma and for my mom all the time. And a lot of times, like, yeah, sometimes you would brew it, but a lot of times it was just like, we needed something fast. It was quick.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma was in a hurry. And so I went in there and it was just instant coffee. I'd heat that water up. I'd do three scoops. I had my creamer.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah. I used to when I was a kid. So, like, there's like this in a tin can and it was French vanilla and it was instant coffee. I used to drink that all the time. But the reason I started getting into coffee, like, my parents are very big, like, my dad specifically, big into coffee. They both drink it black. He would sometimes get like espressos, like very much into it. But I had a friend that like I'd been best friends with her and then she moved away, which like at the time seemed like she moved a million miles away. It's like maybe a 20-minute drive from my house. but we were like in seventh or eighth grade and we were at the mall and she got basically like a Frappuccino, but it was from Auntie Anne's and I wanted to be like be cool and like her. And I'm like, oh, I drink that too, which I didn't. And that started me on my coffee journey. And I was just talking about this with Tiffany. I'm like, my dad's very much like, I don't know. He's like my dad. And we were in New York and it was the summer before I was going into high school. And we went to a Starbucks and I wanted a Frappuccino, but I didn't know that's what it was called. So I just asked for an iced coffee and they asked if I wanted anything in it. And I was like, well, no, because I thought it like came with all the stuff in it. And so my dad, who literally just drinks like black coffee, like strong coffee, ordered a Frappuccino and he drank the iced coffee and gave me the Frappuccino because he knew this one I wanted to order. I'm like, that's a sweet thing for a dad. Oh,
there
to
you
do.
Go. Yeah.
There we go.
Well, it's, Matt, I'll say this, right? I think it's when it's tough. It's tough ordering. It's like you go in there, you're like, what? I mean, they're asking you, well, what do you want in it? I don't know. What does everyone else do? I have no idea. There's so many options. It's so crazy, you know?
Yeah. I'm not really a big coffee drinker. Like I definitely like black coffee to me is like like so gross. I could never ever do it. I like a little splash of coffee with my creamer, milk, and sugar.
There you go.
See, I hate milk in my coffee, but I don't mind cream.
For me, it's Starbucks all the way, except for those McDonald's French vanilla. Burger King has good iced coffee too, but let me say this right here, right now. I just want to get it on the podcast. I want to say it. McDonald's has a better pumpkin spice latte than Starbucks, and that is a fact. Ez will back me up on that.
I will
that.
Say this.
Yeah, I might. I think I will.
As a white woman, I don't care for pumpkin spice lattes. Although they did, Starbucks had an Irish cream cold brew that was so good. Like, I'm sad that it's not a year-round thing. That was delicious.
Yeah, Ez is huge into cold brew.
Let me tell you guys what's up. Cold brew. All right. So often, how often would you say, Matt, that we're talking?
Here's the real question: how many times a day do you drive through Starbucks?
Well, okay, so I go through Starbucks.
To Dunkin'.
And I go to Dunkin' now. So that's been okay. The big thing is
see, Dunkin' isn't really out here on the West Coast. It's big on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, the Dunkin' that we have in my hometown basically says, as like my hometown, then it says is run by Dunkin'. And it's like, okay, yeah. Sure. Or runs on Dunkin', whatever. Right. So I was, and actually Matt knows this, I pull up and like, hey, how's it going? Same, the usual. I mean, that's what they say to me now. So like, I literally go, and then one time we were talking and I got a coffee. We did an episode and we're kind of taking a break. We're about to switch gears, going to another fandom. Where we were going to record later. And Matt knows sometimes I just go grab a sandwich or I'm out and about or whatever, and I went and got another one. And Matt was kind of like blown away. I'm like, this is normal. This is what I do. I don't know what my problem is, but I'm addicted to cold brew. And the one time I was there, it was a couple weeks back, I was going through Dunkin', and you know, I went a little bit later, right? 7:30 p.m. What's wrong with me? I have no idea why. Why I drink coffee late at night, but I do sometimes. And I was rolling through and I was just like, hey, I need, you know, just like a medium cold brew with sugar-free vanilla and cream. And they're like, sorry, sir, we're all out of cold brew. And I've just like, it just ruins your day. You know, it's like really. And they're like,
there is a difference.
There's such a difference.
And for people that don't think there is, I was one of those. And then I truly tried, because I don't hate cold coffee. I don't hate cold. Like, I like that. I just have to be in the mood for it. But there truly, truly is a difference between like just something that's like a cold brew versus a cold coffee, like an iced coffee. It's so much smoother. Cold
it's brew the is so roasting. Much it's the yeah. roasting. It is literally.
Well, it's also
burnt.
Like the way that you like quote brew it, because it's just, I don't know. It's so hard to explain. But if you taste it side by side, your mind will be blown. And if it's not, then you're wrong.
exactly. Oh man, yeah. So I love cold brew, and let me tell you, this got started. I was maybe 4 years ago or something, and one of it was actually Matt and I had a mutual friend in college, and we were going through. We were on a drive or something, and she was just like, "Hey, can we swing through Starbucks real quick?" And I kind of made the joke like, it's so hard to order there. Like, I don't even know what you would get. I don't really drink those things. I'd had a Frappuccino at, like, McDonald's or something, right? And I think that was about it. Maybe Matt and I had a few pumpkin spice lattes or whatever, but I didn't really know what to order. So she gets a Grande Vanilla Sweet Cream cold brew. And I'm like, you want to give it a try? I was like, sure. Give this a try. It was so delicious. I mean, it was just absolutely pure delicious. And it gave me such energy, and I felt so good. Later on we were driving around, we're talking, we go back to her house, and I was just like, I just downed it, finished it. And she's like, I was like, man, I could really go for like another one of those. She pulls out of her fridge cold brew coffee and makes this kind of like cream concoction that's pretty close. Where I was like, this is it's so smooth. Cold brew is so smooth. It's going down so well. I'm like, this is amazing. I can't believe that this is actually a thing. So from then on, I was addicted. And when my students would kind of ask me, you know, Christmas comes around, they're always like, you know, hey, Mr. Kirk, what, you know, can we get you something or whatever? And I was just like, guys, look, I mean, maybe a Starbucks gift card, whatever. Like, keep it. And they did. And then from there, it just continued to fuel my addiction. Let's go ahead and fast forward 2 years, you know, later. I'm at the doctor's office and I'm struggling with chest pain, right? I've got severe chest pain and blood pressure's up. My heart.
It's not funny. I shouldn't be laughing. It's not funny.
You shouldn't be laughing. It's not funny, all right?
I mean, it is.
I'm sitting in there and I'm describing this burning in my esophagus. And I had never had heartburn. I didn't really know what it was. Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, you don't walk into the doctor's office and say that you have chest pain, because they will strap you up to, I mean, you're run. They're correct. Thinking you're having a heart attack, this whole thing. And right. So then she was like, have you had any like major change? Because I'm just like, I'm just getting older. Maybe that's what it is. You know, but she's like, you're still kind of, I was like 27 or something at the time. And she's like, you're still kind of young. Like, this is, I don't know, right? And she's like, have you had any major changes in your diet in the last, like, you know, year and a half or a couple years or whatever? And I was like, well, you know, I didn't used to drink coffee ever. Not at all. And then I started drinking it every single day. My students used to think that I was really, they thought I was rich because I was just hitting up Starbucks every day. And the thing is, I'm broke. That's the thing. I'm broke because I'm hitting it up every single day. It was my fix. I would go in. It was my routine. You know, and I would grab a Starbucks drink and I would roll with it. And I didn't realize that it was literally just eating away at my esophagus. And
you still drink it a lot, though.
I drink it a lot. I still do. But now I take heartburn. Now I take heartburn medicine. Okay. So, and you have to take it on the regular. Oh, and that's how you make it through. But I'm telling you, I have reduced it to some degree. And I went from the vanilla sweet cream cold brew to a more keto friendly recipe. And so, for anyone out there who wants to try this, right? Go ahead and try, and maybe, you know, if you're anti sugar free stuff, I mean, I get it. Are there chemicals? Is there actually stuff in there that's bad? You can right. find a sugar supplement or a sugar free sweetener that is not bad for you. They're out there, and you have to specify that when you go to Starbucks. Do I know what they are? No, I don't, because I don't really care.
As knows the absolute ins and outs of Starbucks.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to do a little bit, yeah, because I did at one point look and say, okay, is there some artificial sweetener in here that is actually killing me, kind of like aspartame and Diet Pop? There probably is, and that's the next thing I got to adjust in my Starbucks habit and routine. But I go there, and so I used to get a grande vanilla sweet cream cold brew. Now I get a grande cold brew. I told this to Matt, and he thought it was pretty good. I got a grande cold brew with 3 pumps of sugar-free vanilla and heavy cream, splash of heavy cream. They got that down. It is literally perfecto. I love it. It tastes just the same. I couldn't believe it. And it significantly reduced those carbs to, I think, one carb from like 26. And it fits into the keto diet.
He literally drives through every day because we're on the phone. I'm always calling Ez, hey, all right, what are we recording today? What are we doing? And literally 2 minutes into the conversation, hi, welcome to Starbucks. What can I get for you? And it's like, okay, here we go. And then sometimes he's like, he gets it and he's like, I swear to God, there is fucking carbs in this. I'm throwing it out. Like, I'm throwing it out. I can't.
You've heard me. I've actually said, hey, hold on. Hold on.
All I know is that Ez has caused me, because of you, I have now invested heavily into Starbucks, and literally the numbers just keep going up and up. And I'm like pretty sure it's just literally because of Ez. I'm like, wow,
on my back.
It's up 3% today. Ez, how many cold brews did you buy?
Right, okay? I put like, the company on my back.
I'm sure you know right now with COVID and everything, they're looking. I can't wait for the next quarterly report for Starbucks, and they're like going through and like, well, this one store in Mount Vernon, Ohio, did really well for some reason. I mean, it's like, God, the numbers are through the roof. It's like literally because
how much coffee do you think you drink a day?
That's tough. So I typically start off, if I'm going to Starbucks, you get the venti out the gate, right? If you're going to Dunkin', you get the large. And then from there.
Their large are huge.
Their large is huge. Typically, if I go to Dunkin' and I get the large, I'm normally solid. Like, yeah, you're good. You're good. It's really a bad day when I go get the large at Dunkin' and then I go back and I get like a medium or a small. It's a pretty bad day at that point. So, and also there's this awkwardness too, right? Where Matt has seen when I go through Dunkin', they know me, right? I mean, they know, they recognize my car, they see it. They're like, hey, we got it. Same thing, sugar-free vanilla with some cream, like pull around. And it's just like they have it, right? Same thing at the local Starbucks that I have. And what's interesting is like I've pulled through and they get these awkward conversations where I was at Dunkin' and she was like, hey, I didn't see you yesterday. And I was like, how was it Starbucks? You know, I... And then they just kind of give you this look like, wait, what? And then I remember it was the other day. I was at Starbucks and I had to confess. Shout out to Jordan who works there. I said, hey, I'm sorry. I've been cheating on you. Like I'm not gonna lie. That I've been over at Dunkin'. That's why you haven't seen me for 3 days. Like I'm just pulled both ways here. It's crazy. So okay. Yeah, it's wild.
All right. Ez, let's finish. Let's talk, for those of you guys who don't know, if you ever come to Ohio, there's like one thing. I see it every time on Food Network, for some reason, this is the thing they pick. There's these YouTubers I love. They're called The Endless Adventurers. They just did an episode in Ohio, and they said, hey, if you go to Ohio, this is the thing. Skyline chili. Is it good? Is it trash? Do we love it as native Ohioans? So it is chili with like spaghetti noodles.
Yeah.
And a ton of cheese. I mean, like an entire bag of cheese.
Yeah,
Sarah, it's radical. What do you think? What are you yay or nay on Skyline Chili?
I will say this. Well, first of all, if people know me, you know I eat almost anything. But I've actually never been to a Skyline. I have eaten Skyline. I have a friend that I met when I was a freshman in college, and I'm still kind of friends with her. And she is from Cincinnati, and she's the reason I had never heard of Skyline, because, they don't have that in Cleveland. I mean, they didn't. It might not be at Rocky, or it was Ridge Park Square had one. It might not be there anymore, but... Mm-hmm. And I've been told anyways that, that Skyline was, even worse sketch than all the bad other Skylines, because it's, not good. But the first time I ever had, I had it at her house, and it was on spaghetti, but I think it was, just leftover she had brought from when she was home. And, it was all right. It just kind of tasted like spaghetti with meat sauce. To me, that is not chili. And that's just my opinion. Have I had better food? Yes. Have I had worse? Also, yes.
Yes. As Skyline chili, yay or nay? For everyone out there who's seen it on the Travel Channel,
Try it.
Anytime you go to it's like anytime the Travel Channel or any of these things, they go to Ohio, they're like, you gotta get Skyline chili.
Yeah, I would say take your heartburn medicine that morning. Make sure you've got
and that afternoon. Sure. And that night.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It is intense. So just go look up Skyline chili, type in their menu. They have pictures of what it looks like. You can't see the dog. If you get a hot dog, you can't see it. You won't find it for a while. Actually, you have to eat through the cheese until you find it. Actually, if they bring a plate out for you, right, it looks like a plate of cheese. But underneath that cheese, you will find a hot dog covered in Coney sauce and chili and stuff, right? It's such an experience. It's such a crazy thing. I remember my buddy in high school, whenever we were going to... a sporting event, or we went and watched a game or something, we would stop, or I forget when we just had these moments where, well, it got so bad to where it was literally just a Saturday and we said, hey, let's go to Skyline. We got nothing else to do, right? So let's drive to Columbus and go to Skyline. But my buddy Peeps, actually,
Peeps, good old Anthony, man.
Yeah. We would go here, give him a shout out. This was his place. He loved this place so much. He loved it, man. And so we would go in there, and we would get six dogs. Nuts. Oh,
God. It was
nuts. And I don't mean six and split it. I mean, he got six. He said, you should probably get yourself six. And you talking about, couldn't move. Couldn't move afterwards. It's worse than White Castle. It is so extreme.
Hold on, the experience don't be dissing White Castle. I had some today. I loved it.
Oh, dude, it's... Well, yeah,
I was
going
to say, I feel like the White Castle I've had has been better than the Skyline chili I've had.
100%.
Yeah, probably. Now, here's something interesting about Skyline, though. They have this bottle of hot sauce that's there. So if you go in, or even if you want to, you can ask for the hot sauce packets or whatever. And I ate one just regular plain. I was like, okay, it is what it is. And Peeps was like, nah, dude, you got to add some hot sauce to that. He just showed me just a quick look, squirt of it on top of the cheese, let it sink down into the meat. And it adds everything you need. I mean, it was literally it was perfection. It did stir up the stomach in a crazy way, but
was it actually spicy? Because I have a feeling if you're saying it's not that spicy, then it's not spicy.
No. It was bad. Let me tell you this. So I used to have a pop obsession. I would drink pop on the daily, and I would drink a lot of it and not diet, it was bad. It was just pop's bad in general, right? I would go there, and what I looked forward to most when we would have the six dogs is I would put the hot sauce on, and I knew to myself, I would order, and thank God there's free refills in there, right? I asked for two cups because we would just, they're actually not they're not disposable cups. They're the cups you're going to throw back later, and they're going to rinse them and wash them. It's like you're in a restaurant. And I would just get two sodas right there. Peeps had his. And I would just be downing Coke. After every bite, I would just be downing Coke. Oh, and it actually, you would think I was training for a hot dog eating contest or something, right? Because it was probably the same amount. It was just wild when we would go there. And I felt terrible for days, but it was so good when we were eating. It was such a good experience. I loved the eating process. Tasted good, everything. It was just afterwards, every plan that we had just went downhill.
Who has better chili? Ez gets chili at Wendy's, or at least used to before he was keto.
Yes.
Wendy's or Skyline?
Wendy's.
Wendy's does. There's nothing. So really, what it is with Skyline is just that they have it's just that massive amount of cheese that just sort of melts into that chili. They do that for you, and I think that's sort of the experience, is that you're just like, you're overwhelmed by cheddar, right? It's so much, and then you're just, it's like, and the hot dog is so small, by the way. It is the smallest dog you've ever seen in your life, covered in chili, covered in cheese, surrounded by a massive bun, and there's really next to no hot dog. It's crazy. But no, I would say Wendy's has a really good chili, and if they would just make it without beans, I think I'd be down, but you know.
Eat around the beans.
I have tried, and then I can tell a difference, right? Those beans carry a lot of carbs.
They do. Okay. All right, guys. Well, as that is our show for today. Sarah, thanks for coming on and joining us, talking about all kinds of random things. That's what we do here. It is what it is. I don't know how to describe it. One minute we're talking about Martha Stewart, the next minute we're talking about aliens, and we like to finish, you know, with some Skyline chili. So, Sarah, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. But you can find me at O'Malley with 3 H's on Instagram, and that's about it.
Okay. Well, you were a podcast. You run a podcast.
Oh, yeah. I have Swish and, yeah. Swish and Flick podcast, which is wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Swish Flick Cast.
It's a Harry Potter podcast for
or whatever. Correct. Okay. If you didn't get that, then you probably don't want to listen to us. But we talk about Harry Potter.
Okay.
And that's pretty swishing much
all we do. And flicking. That's what they talk about.
That's what we do. We swish and we flick.
All right. Perfect. Okay. Well, if you want to find Ez on the internet, you can do so at womprat_2m. You can find me on the internet at Super Gains Bros. And guys, that is it for today. Signing off.